Hello and welcome to Kenny's G League, the unofficial podcast for the Rip City Remix. Today we're going to talk about last week's games that the Remix played. We're going to look ahead to some exciting games coming up just in the next few days. And then we're going to have a chat with friend of the program, Ozzy, who is a young Blazers and Remix fan that knows quite a lot about some upcoming draft guys, some guys in the G League you may know, like Ron Holland and Ryan Repair. And we're going to talk all things draft, Remix, and some hopes and dreams of his for the Blazers coming up here. So let's get right into it, and we're going to talk about the games that we saw last week from the Remix. Last week, the Remix played two games against the Memphis Hustle, going 1-1, losing the first game, winning the second game. The first game on Sunday was very exciting. I was in attendance for that game. I was excited, in part, to see some familiar faces back in Portland. The Memphis Hustle have Rodney Hood, who is, of course, a Blazers legend, and they also have Blazers legend and who was going to be a Remix legend, Michael DeVoe. They both came through town. Rodney Hood, of course, has hit one of the more iconic shots in recent Blazers history, and after going through some injury hurdles in his career, is back playing basketball for the Memphis Hustle. Unfortunately, in the game, he left after just 12 minutes of playing time, pretty frustrated, and it looked like maybe he rolled an ankle or could have been a worse injury, if I'm being honest, just judging by the look on his face. He left the court kind of mid-play without a timeout being called and went straight back to the locker room, which is very disappointing to see, and never came back out on the court or to the bench. So that was pretty disappointing. All the best to Rodney Hood. Hopefully it is not as serious as it could be, and he's able to make a full recovery. That would be excellent. Michael DeVoe had a pretty good game, 20 points, 4 assists, 5 rebounds in 30 minutes, only 1 of 6 from 3, but quite a good game from him. Leading the Memphis Hustle with 23 points was Dejon Giroux. 23 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists. He had an excellent game. The game was quite close. The Remix started to pull ahead in the third quarter a little bit, but in the fourth, they only scored 15 points and were not able to put this one away. Very exciting game. Some of the Hustle players, when they clinched the win at the end, were talking some trash to the fans. I don't know if I appreciate that, but it is, at the very least, entertaining. He was walking basically from one end of the court, kind of taunting the fans about that win, because it was an exciting one. So credit where it's due. They pulled that one out. In the rematch on March 4th, the Remix were able to win that game 137-111. They were led, well, let me look at the box score here, led by Kevin Knox with 33 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists. Kevin Knox has been absolutely balling for the Remix so far in his short return to the team. I hope he's called back up to the NBA soon. Maybe he can stay for our playoff run here, but he certainly seems to be deserving of an NBA contract. He's been playing awesome, playing some of his best basketball, in my opinion. 33 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists for Knox. Tajay Moore, who's been playing point guard recently, 22 points, 7 assists. I think he's been doing quite a good job with Ashton Hagans spending his time with the Trail Blazers. Tajay Moore playing de facto point guard there. And Antoine Davis continues his 3-point shooting barrage. He just hit 100 three-pointers on the season, first to do it this season. Alex Reese has had some excellent games. He put up 28, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. I'm a big Alex Reese believer. I really enjoy his ability to stretch the floor with his 3-point shooting. He's been looking really good recently. So that puts the Remix going 1-1 on that little homestand last week. That puts them in fifth place in the West. You might remember to make the playoffs, you got to be a top six seed. The Remix are 14-10 right now in fifth. In sixth place, Santa Cruz Warriors 14-11, very tight there. And in seventh place, the Texas Legends, who come to town on Sunday. The Texas Legends are 14-12. They've just lost their last two games, so it was even tighter. They were 14-10, of course, before that. So let's move to this next week's games against the Texas Legends. The Texas Legends are going to bring some familiar faces to town this week. We, of course, know Greg Brown III. He's been having quite a nice season for the Texas Legends. And they also bring former Trailblazer Brandon Williams, fresh off of a Player of the Week award for the G League. He's been having some fantastic games recently. We'll look at some of his highlights in just a moment here. Greg Brown, Brandon Williams, those are who we're looking for. Greg Brown has put up some nice games over the past few weeks and really through the whole season. Let me pull up some of his stat lines here so we can get a feeling for what he's been doing. In his most recent game, Greg Brown had 19 points, 10 rebounds. Let's see here, 2 steals. I mean, he's looking good. You know, he hasn't really stretched his game to the 3-point line yet, of course. That's not really his game. I was curious if maybe someday he could add that, but haven't seen it yet. We've got recently, like I said, Brandon Williams putting up some heaters. He put up 31-11 the other day. Before that, against the South Bay Lakers on March 2nd, Brandon Williams put up 46 points, 9 rebounds, and 8 assists. My goodness, he's been balling out. So I did a quick little search. It looks like he will be traveling with the team. He's on a 2-way, but he's not going to be spending his time this week with the Mavs, at least according to one Mavs reporter. So look for him to be in town. He's been balling out. And it looks like Greg Brown, who of course is also on a 2-way, has been spending most of his time in the G League. And so I would expect him to be in town as well. If I see that anything changes about that today or tomorrow, I'll throw that up on Twitter if I can, if I can find anything there. But as of right now, I'm expecting them to be in town. So the Texas Legends, they are right at the top of the league in several categories. Let's get a feeling for what they do best. The Texas Legends lead the league in points per game at 121.4. They also lead the league in three-pointers made at 399. They are darn near the top in field goal percentage. In field goal percentage, the Texas Legends are second at 49%. And in three-point percentage, they are also second at 38.4%. To compare, the Remix's field goal percentage is 21st in the league at 45.8%. And the Remix's three-point percentage is also down a little ways. They are 23rd in the league at 34.5%. However, if we go to three-pointers made, the Remix are right behind the Texas Legends at 15.1 a game, and the Texas Legends are 15.3. So not nearly the percentage that the Legends shoot, but darn near close the makes. So as we've talked about before, that's a big part of the Remix's plan this year. They shoot a lot of threes, and when they make them, they're usually pretty good. When they don't make them, it gets a little uglier. So hopefully that stays. In rebounding, that is where the Remix have a little bit of a head start over the Texas Legends. The Remix are ninth in the league in rebounds per game at 46.9, and the Texas Legends are down at 26th at 43.3. The Legends also are third in the league in blocks per game, 7.7. The Remix are sixth at 6.9. So the Legends score a lot of points. They're an excellent shooting team. And hopefully we see a repeat of that Alex Reese game, going 5 for 5 for 3, and Antoine Davis keeps his three-point shooting up near the top of the league. That would be excellent. I'm excited for that game. Sunday's game should be really fun. It's a nice 3 p.m. start. Be excited to be at the Fruit Bowl for that game. Now, with all that out of the way, let's get to our conversation with future Remix GM. I don't know if that's really what he wants to do someday. Ozzy, he is a young Blazers and Remix fan that I sat just a few seats away from at the Ignite game a couple months back, and it was fun to talk to him about these Ignite players that I don't really know nearly as much about as he does. He has some thoughts on Ryan Rupert. He's been a big Rupert fan since before the draft, and he has some other ideas of what the Blazers could look to do this upcoming summer and beyond. So let's get straight into our conversation with Ozzy. All right. Today we're joined by friend of the podcast, Ozzy. Ozzy, how's it going?
Good.
Good. Thanks for hopping in and talking about the G League and some of these young players today. That'll be fun. Before we get going, just to kind of get us off on the right foot, something I've been thinking about because I was looking at the Blazer Collector website a few days ago, was some favorite sports memorabilia of mine. Like, I used to collect basketball cards and stuff when I was in school. Basketball cards were big for me, and I was always sending in cards to the Blazers. I think I just sent it to the practice facility maybe or something, or maybe it was even the Moda Center, and would ask for autographs. And I got a handful back from players. Those were always pretty fun for me. I remember I had like a Derek Anderson signed card and some kind of like random players like Ruben Boomche. I got a signed card from him. And those were always pretty fun. What is a favorite piece of Blazers memorabilia or basketball in general memorabilia that you've got?
For Blazers, I would say I got like a Brandon Roy jersey.
Sweet.
Yeah. The year.
Oh, awesome.
But then like all NBA, I think I have the 2003 Kobe Bryant All-Star jersey.
Oh, sweet. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So when did you start following basketball?
I've been like following most of my life since I was cool. Like old enough to know what it was.
Yeah, totally.
I think when I was in, 2015, I could first cite the whole Blazers roster by their jersey numbers.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's like, that's totally what I used to do when I was a kid. I think I got into the Blazers when I was in like, I don't know, like fourth grade, I want to say, something like that. Whereabouts were you when you started getting into basketball?
I've been playing since I was in like third grade.
Oh, dang.
But when I've like really started like nerding out on it, it was like summer of fifth grade when I just got 2K and I just like started.
Yes. That is like the perfect way to get into it, because that's like what I used to do too. I would just like go over to a friend's house and we would play, I can't remember if it was 2K or NBA Live at the time, and we would just like do the trade machine, I guess, essentially on like his Xbox, and that was always really fun. That's such a great way to get into like figuring out how, you know, I guess basketball works and stuff. And you like keep up with basketball pretty religiously, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so one of the things I wanted to talk to you about today was like some of these guys that have either been on the Remix or just in the Ignite. And so I guess there's no better place to start off than Ryan Rupert. He's one of my favorite players to watch this year on the Remix, though he hasn't been there too much over like the last month or something like that. But he had a great start of the season here. So what do you like? What are like the positives that you like about Ryan Rupert?
Well, like pre-draft, I think I had him at 14 in a mock.
Really?
So I'm going, because he was like a I would say consensus top 25 guy. Like,
okay,
people were high on Ryan Repair.
Okay.
I think the reason why he fell so much, he did have offensive, I don't know, like he was very raw. It was like,
sure, okay,
solid defense, 94-foot guy, but then yeah, just once he put it together on offense, mm-hmm, he would be a project on offense.
Okay, interesting. That was kind of, because I remember, you know, I don't really follow draft stuff very much at all, to be honest, but I remember at the time, like, he was at the draft, wasn't he? Like, in person, which I thought,
yeah, he
was
kind of
interesting.
For, like,
he did.
A while.
Okay, yeah, because he was, you know, second rounder, and you don't usually see
I was
them.
Actually in France at the time of Ryan Repair getting drafted.
Oh, no way.
So I was sitting in, like, a little Airbnb in France.
Yeah.
When Repair and like, when Wimby got drafted, I could hear, like, people yelling in the streets.
Really?
Yes, because there were, like, a bunch of, like, posters everywhere. Stay up to watch the draft.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
So what time would that have been there?
It was, like, 2 a.m.
It was 2 a.m. and you could hear people, like, cheering when he got drafted?
I could
that
definitely
is awesome.
Hear a few people.
That's really cool. That's really cool. And so they were obviously hyped about about Wemby, mm-hmm, out there. And what was kind of the was there any hype about Repair, even though he was playing in New Zealand, I guess? What are the feelings about him?
For Repair, I feel like definitely I feel less nationalized than Wemby.
Uh-huh.
But in his local region, I bet there was probably something going on.
Yeah.
There.
Oh, that's cool. So he was, I remember the Blazers saying after they drafted him that they also had him, like, projected as a, you know, top 20 pick or something like that.
Yeah.
And
Joe
so
Cronin
you had
said,
him there as well.
Mm-hmm. Joe Cronin said that they got three guys that they had lottery grades on.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. And so now that he's played, you know, he's played a handful for the Blazers and played quite a bit for the Remix, what have you kind of seen this season that either, you know, makes you more optimistic about his trajectory or maybe less? I don't know. What have you seen this year?
I've seen flashes.
Uh-huh.
Like, I've seen Remix games where he's dropped 20 points, good efficiency, played defense. It just interests me because, like, he's still growing. Because he went from, like, 6'7", 6'6"-ish to, like, a good 6'9 guy.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah, that's really interesting. I'm super hyped about him. And, I mean, I wasn't expecting his three-point shooting to be quite what it is. He was shooting, like, 40% or something.
I feel like he has, like, a higher ceiling than Chris Murray.
Yeah.
Just in terms of how good they can actually get. Like, I think he could be, like, really good for us and be, like, the starting small forward of the future.
Yeah. I mean, if I could, you know, just kind of, like, dream about, like, a Scoot, Shaden, Ryan Repair meeting his
draft
potential.
Sar.
Then you draft Sar. I hardly follow, like I said, you know, draft stuff. Do you have any feelings about Sar?
I feel like if the pick can go anywhere, depending on who drafts, but if it is the Blazers, we are the best player available. Sar has the best ceiling in the draft. He can be an all-star. He can be that, well, I don't want to say franchise guy since Scoot, Shaden, but
sure,
he can be a very good all-star level player. His offense is raw. He's averaging 10 points. Defensively, presence in the paint. Stronger than Wemby and Chet at their size, because he's similar size, but less like, but more built than those guys were at the time.
For sure. Interesting.
If he can get his shot together, he can definitely play the four. If not, there's some. He'll be more of like a solid role playing five.
Okay.
But.
Yeah.
I do think that is the pick for us. And then for the Warriors pick, I would love, like, there's a few, like, NBA-ready guys just at the Warriors pick. And then we would also have the 34th pick, which is still really good for us.
Right. So who would you have? Let's see. Pick. Where are Where are the Warriors slated right now? Somewhere around, I don't know, 15th 14. Or something? 14?
Yeah, I'm pulling up my last mock draft.
Yeah.
Here we go. I had SAR. I did a lottery simulation, so we had number one.
Okay, awesome.
I had SAR going number one. This, so I just picked as a Blazers, and Russ was auto-drafted on FanDuel.
Sure, sure.
SAR number one. We took Tyler Smith out of the G League Ignite at number 14.
Okay, interesting.
So I see him as like a raw, like, he's really athletic.
Yeah.
Like, jump out of gym, tall, can guard, can shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Just salt, 3-and-D role player, love him. Also, at that range, a pick over Ryan Dunn, great defender, but I feel like too similar to Repair, as in great defender can come in, be a really good defender, just raw on offense.
Okay.
Can't play offense, that's the way. And then at 34, for some, I had Justin Edwards to the Blazers, which he's like 6'7".
Okay.
Played 2 out of 3.
Mm-hmm.
Really high ceiling. High ceiling, top. If it was just going off of ceiling, he can be a lottery pick.
Yeah.
But he has the lower floor, but if he hits, we have sixth man kind of Jordan Clarkson vibes.
Okay. Okay, he's that type of player.
Yeah, he can just go out and get buckets.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. We'd be stockpiling all the 6'6 to 6'8 wings, which would be pretty great.
But he's more like a shooter.
Okay, cool. Okay.
And then at 40, I was taking Bobby Klipman.
Okay, I don't know that name. Who's that?
He's going to be a project.
Okay.
But he has a high ceiling, kind of like point forward.
Mm.
Good, like, I feel good passing IQ, can shoot the ball. And that, similar to Baba Miller, who's in the draft, just kind of 6'10 point forwards, athletic.
Oh, wow.
Raw.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Does, I feel like in the remix season, we saw maybe some small flashes of Rupert having like some point forward skills.
Yeah.
Even if it's not like his main thing, I feel like there's some skills there. Do you feel like you've seen that?
I could definitely see him as a good ball handler. I don't know if he has like the passing necessarily.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I would agree.
He is a lot like Nick Batum.
Yeah. I mean, it almost feels silly to like make that comparison because it's so on the nose. But he sure feels that way to me. I'm a big Rupert believer. I want to see him as the starting small forward in a year or two, in a couple of years. Let's see here. And then, do you have any feelings on guys like Ron Holland? Talk to you briefly about him during the Ignite game.
Has a very high floor. Like, he isn't going to be, like, he's going to be a guaranteed solid role player.
Yeah.
Like, if he gets his shot together and like starts consistently hitting a three-pointer at like a 35% clip at least,
mm-hmm.
he could be like all-star buckets, best great defender. Like, the defense is why he is a lottery pick.
Right.
Can play offense, can cut to the basket, but if he can start shooting the ball, like, well, we saw that a little bit in the Ignite game.
Right. That's why I feel kind of torn, because I know shooting is his thing, and then he came to Portland and he was hitting everything, and he like had his best shooting night of the season. So I'm always like, oh man, if that's the guy that you could get, that would be incredible.
And like, imagine him with like Scoot and Shaden.
Yes.
Because you could have Scoot like out there, but then just imagine Shaden and Ron Holland just cutting to the basket.
Yeah, that would be a dream scenario if you could run those three as your starting 1, 2, and 3.
What we need around Scoot is just a bunch of cutters and shooters.
Like, yeah.
Perfect off-ball players.
Right, right. That's kind of what I think too. And you know, I've been kind of torn this season with Scoot playing alongside, you know, Ant.
Yeah.
Because it's been
like
kind of tough.
Not a playmaker.
Yeah.
I know
that's
I've
been
already
a tough
made this
one.
comparison, but Ant is basically just Jordan Clarkson.
Yeah, I mean you're kind of right, you know, and it's tough because like Scoot is such an incredible passer. And I feel so bummed that we didn't get to see just 82 games of Scoot and Shaden side by side. That was really what I wanted to see most of this season, I think. You know, and I actually really love Ant too, but that was what I wanted to see most this season was seeing Scoot next to, you know, more of what an ideal fit next to him would be. It's such a bummer that we didn't see that. And it would be cool if Holland could be that guy too.
I've loved Ant since he was drafted, but we have to trade him.
That's how you're feeling now?
He's just in the way of like everybody's development. Cause we can't keep him and Shaden together. Like that's just and then Shaden at small forward it seems wrong.
Yeah, I know there was some national podcast or whatever recently that was like, yeah, you could move him to small forward and it could work. And I'm like, I don't know if I see that vision really. Maybe if like literally every single thing broke perfectly where like Scoot becomes an incredible defender, which I think he could, and Shaden becomes an incredible defender and he grows another couple inches and then, you know, I just don't
get like
really
two
see it.
Like huge 7-footers in the front court.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Which could be Sar and Ayton.
Yeah, that would be really interesting.
Ayton could get the chance to play the four like he's always been wanting to.
Yeah, he keeps trying to show us that he can hit that 15-footer and kind of be like LaMarcus Aldridge or something, who also didn't want to play center, but kind of was a center.
We just need Ayton to dunk the ball, then he'll be good.
Yeah, I think that's pretty spot on, actually. Okay.
Nurk of a 40-inch vertical.
Wait, what?
Nurk of a 40-inch vertical.
Nurk
would always like... You know how Nurk would like always just like shoot those like little 10-footers and then just miss it off the front of the rim?
Absolutely. Yeah. Nurk with a 40-inch vertical would probably be my favorite NBA player. And then let's see here. Matas Bezelis. I am very torn on him. What are your feelings on Matas Bezelis?
I like him. If he was in a different situation, I think people would consider him over on Holland.
What do you mean by that?
Well, the G League Ignite roster does not make sense. They have a point guard, doesn't pass the ball. You know, you saw the point guard.
Yeah.
Cannot pass the ball for the life of him. Von Holland was in the corner wide open. They were just screaming for it. Didn't get it. Then they have three elite wings that could go in the top 20. Tyler Smith, Ron Holland, and Bezelis. You can only start two of them. I mean, and then they have Itzan Amadsa, who could be going in the first round.
Yeah. Yeah. He would be interesting, actually, if he just fell like to 30 or something. Yeah.
Like, their roster construction doesn't make sense in that and Tyler Smith being on the roster and Ron Holland and Bezelis is like, means that they only all get like that much when they could be like a number one good college team.
Okay. Yeah. That totally makes sense. Yeah. And like, I remember when they came through town, the game that I saw, I think Bezelis only played like, I don't remember.
Yeah. He only played
15 minutes
like,
or something.
He did not play that much and only had the opportunity to take three shots, which he made two of.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's kind of the upside of Bezelis, because just from looking from afar, I don't really see like the shooting yet, at least not the 3-point shooting. It's been pretty kind of underwhelming, but the length is there. You know what I mean? So what's kind of like the upside of Bezelis?
6'11", high IQ. Like he can make the pass. People were calling him like a point forward in like 2022 or something. It was absurd. It was like, I think one or two years ago, they were calling him like the unanimous number one guy.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Like, no, because they were saying, well, let's go back to like 2020. They would say Amani Bates, Bezelis, LaMelo and Cade. Like, that was just kind of the little.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm forgetting about what draft. Who was it? Eh, I don't know. 2022. I wasn't paying attention to that draft.
Sure. Yeah. Interesting.
But, like, he just had, like, a bunch of hype.
Okay.
But she's, my frankly, lived up to Holland and Sardis kind of popped out of nowhere.
Okay.
Topech.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's another player that's interesting. Okay. So he's got the elite athleticism and IQ, but everything else. Like
he's not, I'm not, I don't want to ever compare anybody to KD. KD's almost one in a million, but kind of KD light.
Uh-huh. I see.
KD. Picture.
Yeah.
This kind of 6'11 guy does not want to be like, if Bouzelis would put on muscle, mm-hmm. I guarantee he could play at 4 or small 5.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he doesn't want to. I feel like there are signs of him getting a shot together. If he can shoot, we would draft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's tough to draft a non-shooter sometimes, especially with the Blazers right now, probably.
But you could see, like, during transition in those Ignite games, he was just the fastest guy down the court.
Okay, yeah, that makes
sense.
He would outrun,
like, Ashton Hagans would try and get back on him. He would just outrun Ashton Hagans. It's like, Euro step, bam.
Yeah.
Could do that.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Holland are both incredible in transition and can just scoot, throw, Hagan gets rebounds, throws it a scoot, outlet pass up court.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's something there, too. Do you think either of them are going to maybe surprise where they go in the draft?
Bouzelis or Holland could fall.
Yeah. Okay.
But I could see Holland going anywhere from 1 to 15. Like, it's a
range.
Oh,
wow. Oh, dang.
Bouzelis, not as high as Bouzelis, similar thing. It's just the draft, the whole... There's like different clumps of the draft that are just like grouped together and it could go any order.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's an interesting way to think about it. My understanding is that this is kind of like a unique draft because more teams, since there's like no consensus, more teams will be drafting like for fit or something like that.
It's not a bad draft necessarily. It's just there's not going to be like 5 all-stars or whatever, but there's just going to be a bunch of role players for the next decade.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, that's interesting.
In terms of groups, there's like a whole group in like the earlier to late 20s. There's like a whole group of the 6 3-point guards.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Tyler Kotek, Jared McCain, Judah Nins, like Juan Nunes or something.
Hmm.
Tyrese Proctor and Bronny.
And oh, right, right.
That guy.
Yeah, that guy. Oh, that's interesting. I didn't even realize that. Huh.
Yeah.
And that seems pretty... I can't really remember too many other drafts like that.
Yeah, there's just like different sections of...
Right.
Oh, you want this guy? Trade to this pick or whatever. Hmm.
Yeah. It's really interesting. Do you think the Blazers will keep both picks if you had to guess?
Oh, we're keeping all of our picks, if not trading for more. I feel like this is just the draft. Stock up on role players and just... Mm-hmm. It was like, I feel like there's a few guys that would just fit really well.
Okay, yeah.
Because does Dallas have their pick this year? No.
Who?
I was just remembering if Dallas had their pick this year. But no,
I don't know.
That's next year. That's next year.
Hmm.
But, like, we have a few different trade pieces.
Yeah.
Even if it's this draft or next draft or whatever, we have Matisse, Brogdon, Ant, which is our biggest trade piece. We're gotta have to get off of Jeremy Grant's contract.
Oh, really? You're not a Jeremy Grant believer?
I like him.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say, oh my God, this guy is worth. He would be worth a 2 first round picks if he was getting paid $25 million.
For sure.
He's being paid. I'm not number one guy anymore, but it's the. He's being paid more than 2018 Braun, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Blazers should not have given him the contract. We could have signed, I think, I did the math, we could have signed like 7 or 8 like good role players in the offseason and just waived everybody on our team.
If they just waived everybody?
Yeah, if we just got every roster space open, we could have just signed like a bunch of good role players.
Oh man, I can't even imagine that scenario. That like breaks my brain.
That would have been weird.
But yeah, it would have been kind of fun though.
That would have just been like a monster deep team around name. But
right. Interesting. Okay, let me here's my hot Rupaire take.
Yeah.
Ryan Rupaire's season in the G League is comparable to Bezelis' season in the G League. They're both averaging about 14 points a game, 13.7 for Rupaire and 13.9 for Bezelis. Rupaire is at 6.2 rebounds. Bezelis is 6.9. And they both average about 2 assists. Their field goal percentage is 43% for Rupaire and 44% for Bezelis. This is the main difference. Rupaire's three-point percentage is 44%. Yeah. And Bezelis is 28.6. And then their free throw percentage is 73% for Rupaire and 68.6% for Bezelis, which all is close enough for me to, you know, with the one free throw rule, it's like, there's maybe less sample size there. And Rupaire is only 5 months older than Bezelis. So this is my, you know, big brain hot take is that Ryan Rupaire is a steal in the second round because he's showing signs already in his first season of at least the potential there that you see with other maybe like more consensus lottery picks.
Yeah, because I feel like similar things to Shannon Sharp.
Mm-hmm.
If he had stayed another year, he would have been, because 2023 was so deep, Rupaire fell.
Okay, yeah.
But like you could see him being like a top 20, maybe even lottery guy right now in this draft. He could even, let's see. He could even be top 10.
Top 10. If he were to like stay another year or whatever.
If he was being this draft class right now. Or like how Shaden would have been like maybe even going above Scoot potentially.
If he were to play a year at college and show what he's got and all that. Yeah. All right. That's my hot take and I'm sticking to it. So let's see here. Oh, another thing I wanted to talk to you about, you probably saw, you know, a few weeks ago or something, Adam Silver was talking about how they would probably need to reassess the G League Ignite's future with college players being able to, you know, make money on their image and likeness and whatnot. And I'm sure probably also seeing that the Ignite are only winning like 3 games a season. Do you have any ideas on if they were to kind of restructure what the Ignite looks like, how could they do that in a way that makes sense for the league?
I feel like this could be crazy and it would be a lot of work, but they could, you know how they used to have the D League? Make that separate from the G League. So there's a development league, which is only draft prospects and only that.
Oh, interesting.
There's a bunch of. So then you make sure that coaches are prioritizing team play over individual play.
Mm-hmm.
Like everybody, I think his name was London Johnson, the Ignite point guard.
Yeah.
Was just playing for themselves, trying to get the prospects up, and they make them play as a team. So it's them going up against people their age and competition.
Yeah.
Their age. And that could be interesting.
That would be really interesting.
They just have like before college declaring as mandatory. So players, if they don't get assigned, would be able to go to college. They could potentially do a sort of draft within a different G League draft where they could have all the prospects in a draft pool out of high school go to the get drafted to different teams in the G League.
Yeah, I like that.
Or just randomly assigned.
Or just randomly assigned. Yeah, I think that's an interesting idea. So anyone that like doesn't declare for college, but is still, you know, wants to keep their options open.
Or even before before college. So right. They don't get, because
you could be like 17,
drafted.
Right?
Yeah. Before college or drafted.
Yeah.
You could go to college if you don't.
Yeah.
Get signed.
That's a really interesting idea. And there's even, you know, there is like a G League draft, but it's like,
yeah,
it's almost useless. They might as well.
Yeah. So you could even make that a separate thing.
Right. That's an interesting idea. That would be really, that would be pretty unique if you could do that. Cause, who is it that's on the Ignite? What's his name? He's 17. Let me look it up here. Dink Pate. He's 17.
Oh,
and he's not playing very much on the Ignite. And I'm sure that they're fine with that, but maybe he would rather get some more reps up there with the team that, I don't know, had a spot for him. I really don't know, but it's a really interesting idea.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's see here. To kind of wrap us up here, what are you hoping the Blazers will do this summer? And then maybe separately, what do you think the Blazers will do this summer?
I hope the Blazers. I don't know. I hope the Blazers do not draft, be stupid and do like the Neil Olshey thing and draft a player that the Clippers wanted or something, and draft like Devin Carter like first overall or something.
Okay.
But I feel like they should draft Sar, Cody Williams, or Holland with the number one pick, or if they get a top five pick.
Mm-hmm.
If they get 14, I'm fine with anything. I prefer good player. I would like a Tyler Smith or a Tijon Salon, Stephon Castle.
Okay.
For 34, however, I do want an NBA ready player. If Ryan Dunn or Justin Edwards somehow fell to us, they are the pick. But if, like, I'm assuming that Jalen Bridges, Dylan Mitchell, a few NBA ready guys come and contribute. Adame Bona, I don't know how to say his name, but that would be really good. For 40, best player available, free agency wise, or just off season wise, trade Ant, trade Brogdon, trade Jeremy. Maybe
all youth.
Just so frustrated. No, we don't even have to be all youth, but just better fits.
We're
trying to build around.
That makes sense.
He's not in a good situation. We'll say if he was in San Antonio or somewhere random, he would be doing better.
Mm-hmm.
We have to prioritize his development. So Matisse, Jeremy, Brogdon, and Ant, all gone. They should be gone. Get whatever we can for them. We can get a first for Brogdon. Maybe get a first for Jeremy, but we would have to take on, I don't know, maybe the Thunder do a sign trade of Gordon Hayward or something. But then definitely could get two or three first-round picks for Ant. Like, he has a great value on the market, which we could use to get better fits with Scoot. I know the Blazers said they wanted to be, like, competitive next year.
Right.
But I almost wonder, if we were to tank, like, just full on tank,
just straight
give
up,
one pick,
yeah,
we could get Ace Bailey or Cooper Flagg, which are, like, generational talents.
Yeah.
That could be, like, they're, like, six 10-ish. So let's say we draft Sar. So then we're assuming we trade Ant, Jeremy, Brogdon, Matisse to who knows where. Mm-hmm. So we'd have a starting five. That's Scoot, Shaden. Would a pair be starting by then? We're saying 2026.
If we're dreaming, let's say he's starting by then.
Yeah, we'll say prime time championship team. Scoot, Shaden, Repair, Cooper Flagg, Race Bailey, and Sar.
That is, that'd be pretty dope.
Or even one more year, add Cameron Boozer.
Cameron Boozer? Oh man, I forgot about that guy for a minute there.
AJ DeBanza.
AJ, okay, now you're beyond me. Who is that?
Another one, Cooper Flagg, Carlos Kambuzer, and Ace Bailey and AJ DeBanza, maybe even Dylan Harper, are like in 2026 and 2025, like franchise, I would call them generational talents. Like they're going to be superstars.
Yeah.
They're going to be really good.
Okay.
Dylan Harper's on the guard.
Okay. But I'll have to watch some highlights.
Then basically, we draft Bronny this year, draft Bryce this year, Braun lasts 4 more years.
Yeah.
And we sign Braun.
I would not hate that at all. I would not hate that. I mean, even though I went through a period where I absolutely hated LeBron, I would be into that by now. That would be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
All right. I love it. Well, we'll kind of wrap it up there. Hey, thanks for talking about all the players that I don't know enough about to talk about and helping me learn a little bit more about them. Let's see here. I think that's all I have today. Any thoughts to take us away?
Not really, no.
Awesome. All right. Well, go Remix, go Blazers. And thanks so much for chatting with me.
Bye.
All right. Bye. As always, thank you so much for joining us on another episode of Kenny's G League. Hope you enjoyed this chat. If you wouldn't mind giving us a quick review on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you're listening to this, it would be much appreciated, and we will catch you next time on the next episode of Kenny's G League.